Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is the Financial Flight Plan. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Bree Reyes, investor coach, certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services here in the Metroplex. And on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about savvy kids, what you can do to raise financially savvy kids. And Bree, we're extending this out, right? We're talking about grandkids here too.
Exactly. We're talking about a whole financial generation, a new financial generation to a family. So parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles can help participate, everybody.
I think this, before we actually get into the nitty and gritty, is a nice highlight, Bree, of what it's like to work with the team at Estes Financial, because it's not just, okay, what best stock is there for me to pick in my retirement plan? This is a great example of kind of you're having these kinds of conversations with people when they come in to meet with you, how coaching them on how to view money, how to view finances, view retirement, help their kids, help their grandkids prepare for retirement. It's that more holistic type planning, right?
Exactly. And more and more, this isn't being taught in schools. Financial topics aren't really being taught in classrooms anymore. And so it's up to, I'm a big fan of the It Takes a Village idea to raise my son, Nate, but it takes our village to teach our kids responsible money management.
Well, that's true. We're never going to, you know, they don't teach us how to balance a checkbook or how to properly, you know, view credit card debt and a lot of these things. There really is a lack of financial education that seems to occur in schools. I know it was that way when I grew up, and I hear that it's still the same problem of what a lot of kids are going through now. And you're starting to experience that with the age that your kids are beginning to get to as well, it sounds like.
Well, mine's only 6 months, but we're getting there. we're laying good groundwork now. I've talked to my nephew's 10, and they've done the stock market game.
That's who I was thinking was your nephew.
Yeah,
that's
right. My nephew. Yeah, he's 10, and they did the stock market game in school, and he came to me and said, you know, what stocks do I choose? And I said, well, that's not how we put a portfolio together. I mean, yes, investments are included in a portfolio, but we're not going to stock pick here.
It's a hard question for me to answer here. What's your long-term care plan, nephew?
Well, it was one of those situations where he wanted to know, what's going to be the next Facebook? Well, do you know what's going to be the next Facebook?
No.
You know, I want to, for him, it was all about winning the game. There was some prize at the end.
Sure.
I want to win the prize. And my aunt's a CFP and my grandfather's a CFP and help. And it kind of blew his mind when I kind of took him through the how we create a portfolio and how you should create a portfolio. But they were basically picking, they were teaching kids to stock pick and market time and everything that Tim and I are just against.
Yeah. It's one of those things that the intention is probably good to teach about money, but then with the actual lesson that gets soaked in maybe does more harm than good.
It did. And this is the same game I remember playing in high school years and years and years ago.
Yeah. The most important money lesson I learned in school was we always did this every Friday, and I don't remember what grade this was, but we did something where you could bring things to sell. And so everyone started out with a certain amount of money at the beginning of the year. It was fake money, this little purple dollars. And everyone would, you know, come in and, you know, I'd always bake cookies, and then I was a big trader. So I'd go around and trade stuff, and, you know, you could just bring whatever you want in. And a lot of people would bake things and then sell that. And you could then, you know, get a cookie or a brownie for giving them two purple dollars or whatever it was. But then the goal was to see, you know, do you want to have the most money at the end of the year, or do you want to have, you know, just enjoyed yourself every Friday with all the cool stuff you were able to buy with your purple dollars? And I ended up with the most money at the end of the year, or almost the most money at the end of the year. I had like everybody's dollars. Everybody was out by the end of the year. The most important financial lesson I learned is that I forgot to take the money out of my pocket, and it got washed in the washing machine, and all those purple dollars got eviscerated.
Oh, no.
And so on the last Friday when they were going to tally all the money, the person who won like hardly had any, and I had zero though because it had all gotten ripped to shreds. So that was the lesson that I learned that was very important as a child, was Don't let your money go into the washing machine if it's rippable.
Hey, our house, the money's in the washing machine. It belongs to the person who did the wash.
Hey, there you go. I like that. That's a tip, right?
There you go. That is one of my financial tips.
Well, even though your son's only 6 months old, that underscores the first tip here on the podcast for raising financially savvy kids, and that is, Bree, start now. And you're starting at 6 months, and it can start at any time, but go ahead and start now. That's the first tip.
Exactly. Moms look at me a little funny when I go to the grocery store, because when I have Nate with me, I'm always telling him how much things cost, and we're, you know, I'm doing a tally and adding stuff up. Now, granted, 6 months old, he isn't paying attention to how much things cost, but it's starting the language conversation more than anything. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting now. I'm putting myself in a good habit. Ooh, so that way going forward, it'll be a good habit for the entire family.
I like that a lot. It's, well, hey, you play soothing music when they're still in the womb, right? Isn't that a thing that people do? I don't know. I haven't had kids yet, but I hear that the thing that people do, it's never too early to start, you know, trying to get them interested in Beethoven and developing, you know, getting, listening to the right music, starting the conversation. You never know when it's going to start to sink in. So go ahead and start now. But I love your perspective on it, conditioning yourself to already be in the mindset to be having these conversations, to be looking out for learning opportunities. I think that's really, really important. Another tip that we could give to help you raise financially savvy kids and grandkids is to keep it collaborative. But what do we mean by that, Bree?
Well, money conversations shouldn't just happen between mom and dad hushed at night when the kids are asleep. Let's talk about it as a child. I'm going to pull a kind of embarrassing story from my childhood here, but I've shared a few recently.
It's your turn. Yeah.
So my first real job outside the house, outside of working with Estes Financial for Tim, and outside of, you know, chores as a kid, was at Oshman's. It was a sporting goods store here in Texas. And so I had worked there, the first 2 weeks, and I was getting ready for my first real paycheck. And I was 15, 16 years old, and I had spent that paycheck in my head. You know, I had planned out exactly, I knew how many hours I worked, I knew how much I made per hour, and so I knew what my paycheck should be, and I had planned out how I was going to spend it. You know, I've pre-spent my paycheck in my head. Now, granted, my parents, in their infinite wisdom, made me keep a certain percentage from each paycheck to put in Roth. So I'd already factored that one in. You know, how much is my Roth contribution? Okay, subtract that out. How much do I get left to spend? So, lo and behold.
You're ahead, no matter where this story goes, you're ahead of 99% of the other teens out there. So, well done.
Well, you know, I didn't say I'd planned on spending it on, like, great things. I think it was shoes.
But still, you put it in Roth. That's good.
So, I get my check, and I get it, and it's not quite the number that I had factored in my head. And so I get home and I pull Tim and Julie aside and I went, okay, who's FICA and why is she taking my money?
Who is this woman?
Who is this person? Who's FICA and where's all my money going?
Oh my gosh.
And that's when they pulled out their pay stubs and sat me down and my sister, and it was a collaborative discussion of, okay, this is what Social Security is, and this is why I remember being 16 and kind of obnoxious. I'm not going to need Social Security anytime soon. Why am I paying into it now? Why can't I wait to pay into it till later on, to where I'm going to need it? It's my money.
Right.
And we had to sit down, and Tim and Julie, my parents, pulled out their pay stubs from their jobs, and we went over them together as a family with my sister to explain, okay, here's Social Security, here's FICA, here's what it does. You know, the Social Security check your grandfather's receiving, well, good, congratulations, you just contributed to that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, but is that better than the DVD player that I'd picked out? How is Grandpa spending my money?
Yeah.
When do I get it back type situation?
Oh, that is too funny. But that's a great lesson to be learned. At least you weren't already having, like, insurance and, you know, additional retirement plans taking and soaking away that paycheck as well. So
I was only a part-time summer employee. I didn't get to participate in the 401k. But had I been able to, I probably would have. Still angry with FICA, and I'd still like my money back.
Who is this 401k gentleman messing with my portfolio now? That's great. Who is FICA, and what is she doing in my paycheck? I love that. That's great. So keep it collaborative. That's a great example of how the team can kind of come together to teach about a financial issue or incident that might pop up during your child or your grandchild's life. Another tip would be to be inclusive. What do we mean by being inclusive to teach your kids and your grandkids about money, Bree?
This is one I like and that I've recommended with with some of our clients with younger children and with younger grandchildren. Okay, hypothetically, say you have a big vacation coming up. Sit the kids down and show them how much you spend on fun stuff per month and ask them, hey, you know, every month we take, you know, you take your allowance to Target and you buy a Lego set. Well, do you want to save your money this month and maybe not buy the Lego set now? And instead, we could buy a really cool toy at the end of XYZ vacation. Or when we go through the gift shop at the aquarium, we can buy a stuffed beluga whale, that type of thing. So just kind of teaching them and prioritizing what we're spending money on for fun stuff. You know, do we need to go to the pizza place this Friday, or do we want to save the money that we would have spent at the pizza place and put that toward a cool adventure on our vacation, that type of thing?
I think that's really helpful. Great examples. Put the power, put a little bit of choice into their hands. And I think in a situation like that, Bree, you're not only teaching good money lessons, but you're also dealing with this issue of indecision. And I don't know about you, but I see a lot of people, you know, kind of in our generation who really struggle with indecision. And that's not to say that we're not immune. I mean, my wife and I argue all the time, where are we going to go for dinner? And neither of us can make up our minds and make a decision. But, you know, on important things, I like to think that I'm pretty good at, you know, picking a course of action. But I've seen that be kind of, you know, paralyzing to a lot of other people my age, this inability to pick path A or path B or even create their own path C. It's just sort of this stuck mentality. And so not only is this teaching a financial lesson, but by kind of pushing them to make decisions, I think just overall that's a huge benefit.
Studies have shown that if you can eliminate the number of choices but still give kids choices, so maybe not unlimited options, you know, but still give them choices, that it helps their self-esteem as they grow up because they see that they've made good choices.
I think that's a great point. And last but not least, one more, and this is really important, example of how you can teach your kids, your grandkids about money and set them up better for the future is to show how it affects their future. I always remember the teachers in any subject from growing up who did a great job of showing why we're learning this particular math skill, as an example, how I'm going to use that in my future life. Like, why do I need to know what a factorial is? Here's why. Here's where you may see this situation later in life. Same with a lot of the other subjects in school. The best teachers show you how what you're learning now could benefit you in the future beyond just maybe you'll get a Jeopardy answer correct one day. No, they're able to apply it to everyday life. That's maybe the most important thing you can teach also to a kid or a grandkid about money. Show how it affects the future.
Exactly. For me, it was physics. I never quite understood if I was going to use physics in a daily world. And then I started flying with my dad.
Then you learned physics quickly.
Then we use a lot of physics. It's surprising. When it comes to children, show them how it affects their future. The first thing I can think of is, you know, how much college is going to cost. A lot of kids grow up and college is kind of like something, you know, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are taking care of for me.
It's a given,
and,
right?
And I found that the people that actually paid attention to how much college costs or even contributed to it in some way, shape, or form value their education a little bit more. You know, a little bit more emphasis on studying versus maybe hitting the party on Friday night or Thursday night. And that's a good way to do it. And it's also a good time to show, you know, compound interest, long-term savings, that type of thing. But you don't want to start when they're 18. Like, start early, but show them how it's going to affect their future. Show them the cost of, you know, maybe their favorite state school, Texas A&M, versus the cost of Harvard, or, you know, what an undergrad versus a doctoral program costs, you know, and show them that because they need to. I found that if you know the value of something, you cherish it a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really important. And I'll kind of go back to recap, you know, these tie in together. Show how it affects their future, but start now. Like you said, don't wait till they're 18. So remember to start now, keep it collaborative, be inclusive, pull them into the decision making, and overall, show them how money decisions will affect their future, money decisions that they make now, money decisions that they'll make later, how it has a lasting impact on life.
If you don't do it early enough, I remember when I was at A&M, around the Memorial Student Center, which was kind of the, for all intents and purposes, living room of campus, you know, where you go to get a hamburger and to relax between class and maybe study or whatever. We had what I had called the credit card sharks. So it was every major credit card company would be out with a booth in front of the MSC, Memorial Student Center, offering, you know, XYZ card with a free toaster or t-shirt or whatever. And I saw kids that maybe they, I don't think they even understood the concept of a credit card.
Right.
And the concept of if you don't pay it off, interest, and if you make minimum payments, how long it's going to be. Signing up for cards left and right, ruining their long-term credit for years. Because nobody had explained the concept of a credit card to them. And, you know, hey, the free t-shirt was cool, or the free water bottle or whatever, what tchotchke that they gave out was cool. And this is a huge problem for, at least I think my generation, is credit card debt. And quite frankly, I'm seeing it in boomers too. It's not just us youngins. And the concept of just making minimum payments and how much you're going to pay and just interest to company the long term. And it's because nobody sat down and explained, okay, here's what a credit card is. Here are the pros and cons. And maybe just because you're 18 and you can make a decision doesn't mean you should sign up for seven of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Kicking the can down the road becomes more attractive for a little while until things finally pile up and it hits home at what the burden actually looks like on your shoulders. And then that really, in some cases, causes people to start paying attention quickly. And in others, just leads to a world of hurt and pain trying to recover from those mistakes and those issues. And you know, it's a big problem. You're right. And that can be avoided with good money habits earlier on in life. And that is something, if you're approaching retirement or already retired, look to that next generation. You can leave a legacy that is financial in nature without even using any of your own dollars. You can leave a legacy by imparting some knowledge on the next generation. I'll kind of share one last story before we wrap up here, Bree. My grandmother on my mom's side, she was never the, you know, here's a bunch of toys kind of spoiling of a grandmother. Instead, from birth, she gave us gifts of bonds. And bonds were pretty boring, so she switched to stocks once we were old enough to start understanding what stocks were. But myself and my two cousins, and it was small stuff, you know, 10 shares of Disney back in the 80s, 10 shares of Harley Davidson, Hershey. She'd pick fun things that we were interested
in. Fun companies. I'm sitting here looking at a framed Disney stock certificate in our office that Tim gifted me.
Is that right? See? Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yep. So my grandmother did that. And she went from being the grandmother that never gave us cool toys to the awesome grandmother once you started to realize, you know, what a cool gift that was. And those funds, you know, helped contribute to the down payment of my first home and have, you know, just continued to, the bonds helped pay for the first year of college. I mean, those gifts piled up to do quite a bit for us as we started to become adults and started to use those dollars. Pretty amazing to see that kind of impact. And again, it's that planting the seed early on of be thinking about money, be thinking about investing, be thinking about how, you know, these finances impact your life into the future. And it didn't take them, you know, they didn't have to have $1 million to teach us those lessons and pass these valuable things on to us. You know, it's just the gesture alone was enough. So it's pretty neat. And I know a lot of people are you know, doing that kind of thing. But if you're not, think about doing some neat stuff to help raise financially savvy kids and grandkids, because we can attest, right, Bree, that it makes a big impact and it's totally worth it.
It makes a huge impact and it's totally worth it. And having conversations quite a bit with people about college planning, savings for kids, that type of thing. Don't hesitate. If you've got questions for your child or even your grandchild, don't hesitate to give Tim and I a call. Ask what strategies we can do. How can we start setting this up? How can I start teaching them? Because that's something we're really, really passionate about and that we want to help.
It's all part of the planning process. It's not just about picking the right stock with the team at Estes Financial Services. No, no. It's much deeper, much more important than that. It's really a relationship that you enter into when you work with the team at Estes Financial. So if you'd like to have that conversation, would like to pick their brain a little bit, how you can talk to your kids or your grandkids about money in addition to making sure that your own financial plan is taken care of in the future, it's easy to do that. Just pick up the phone and give a call, 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Or you can find us online at estesfinancial.net, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those different spots. You can get in touch any of those ways. You can hear past podcasts on the website. You can also subscribe to future podcasts as well, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, if you follow podcasts in those manners. Thanks so much for listening to our show today. That's a good, I think, coverage of, you know, how you can help raise savvy kids and grandkids. A couple of good suggestions and things to think about there. And ultimately, Bree, you do these things, and not only are you building an abundant life for yourself, but for the next generation as well.
Exactly. And if you've got any questions about any of the topics that you've heard on the podcast, don't hesitate to call Tim and I. Go out and lead an abundant life. Have a wonderful day.
And again, we'll talk to you next time right back here on the Financial Flight Plan.
Security is offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.